With Laura Fox podcast.
How did that feel to actually play that in Studio 8?
I mean, we're basically blue in the face from watching videos growing up on Studio 8 stuff. So it's a bit mad that we're kind of in the same room as the boys. Like, I don't know, you name it, they've played it, I guess. So it's a bit mad. Yeah, there's something in the walls here, definitely.
Yeah, there is. It is really exciting, I think, because we had done a whole like Studio 8 archives look back a while ago of all the different people who had come and played through Studio 8. And it is so unbelievable. And I get really excited for new bands like yourselves to experience that. But for you, okay, let's just talk about it, because you've had the most insane 3 years of your life. Like, tell me how the hell Kingfisher came about.
It's like, you're never going to be able to explain it. I don't know how, like, we blinked and all of a sudden we were fun employed trying to make it as a band. We were signing up to all these record deals and doing all this mad stuff. It's in the space of about 3 weeks, the whole thing went from zero to 1,000.
So, like, let's just give people a reminder, because obviously we're coming into Electric Picnic this weekend, but you play Glastonbury. Like, Magoo, tell me how that was.
Yeah, Glastonbury, it's hard to describe how massive it is. It's amazing. And, I won't lie to you, Laura, I bawled my eyes out after the second show. Yeah, it was just so unbelievably huge for us to get such a great response for 2 days in a row. Like, our tents were full up to the brim. The people outside the tents as well, waiting to get in and stuff. It was just...
Sorry, and that's a different gravy of a crowd as well. There's 250,000 people out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fitz, what were you going to say?
It was just like, the second gig was 12:30. And like, I don't know about
who gets up at 12:30.
I don't get up out of the tent until like at least 2 o'clock.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, come on. So I think we were all very surprised when we saw such a big crowd in the tent.
Like, it was so funny. We were always at the tent, and like, as you're walking, because it's massive.
Yeah.
You kept walking and walking and walking, and everyone was talking to it, they were like, "Ooh, that stage is a bit far away." And then we were, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 minutes walking, and all I could think was, right, it's going to be the five boys on stage, maybe the photographer going to have a bit of bop with the lads, wouldn't worry about it. It's grand. It's Glastonbury. You're fine.
Yeah, you were it because you were
100%,
you got to play.
100%. 100%. It was it'll just be the boys. We'll have a great time. Who cares if anyone's there? Whatever. It's 12:30 on a Sunday. And then when we turned up, I actually couldn't believe it. By the time went out, we were pretty much full. And then, just so something, I don't know what they're going. I have no idea how to explain any of that. We're just living it. Like,
clearly you just pulled it in, so I wouldn't ask too many questions about it. Roman.
No, absolutely. Don't ask questions. As my dad says, ride the wave.
Exactly. Like, let's bring it a little bit closer to home, because you guys did not one but two sold out 3 Olympia gigs for doing a live recording of your album. Like there's about 3,000 people overall for that. So, you know, that's huge as a landmark at home. Why did you feel the need to release it?
It's the Olympia. It's like that venue that any Irish artist just dreams of playing. And it was like, right, we've got 2 nights here. How do we immortalize these 2 nights into something
great
that we
word.
Can never forget? Oh, thank you. So I think the idea was born out of that. It was like, how do we continue? Like, so yeah, we've decided to record them, and it's been an exciting few weeks. We just released the live album. It's been great. Actually, to say thank you, we brought one in for you.
So thank you.
Right,
oh my God, great. Wait, did you sign it?
We've done some scribbling.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. Thanks so much for
the only one who, I feel like Magoo's handwriting is pretty legible. The rest of us are.
Sorry, that was my handwriting. If you can't read it, I'm really sorry.
I can. I can. I write my own stuff down and then I can't read what I've just written after. It's terrible. Sorry, the cover is amazing. So was that taken live in like the 3 Olympia? Is that where the cover's from?
Right, Laura, now you've... That's a bad question to ask, first of all.
This is the rumour I'm spreading, okay?
This is the rumour you're spreading. No, there's a little bit of movie magic there. We asked people to come in early. But we did... It was shot in the Olympia, but unfortunately it was a little bit... it was done live in the night.
Just to give people context, because this is not a visual medium, but I'm holding on to a vinyl record right now, and it's the 3 lads, and there's a crowd all the way around them holding up the lights with their phone, and the whole thing is in black and white. And sorry, I would like to say, well done you for having the finer details of signing this in a lovely silver pen.
Thanks. Well, that was definitely us too. We
definitely
were
organized.
So organized.
Go on the lads, thinking through it all. Okay, let's bring it right back, right? I hate saying the C word, but COVID, right? It was terrible for a lot of people, but it played a pivotal part for you guys, because I suppose that was when you had the time to be together and decide you were going to do this.
Like, I remember our daily schedule was get up, maybe...
Were you living together?
Just to fill it in. Myself and Fitz were living together.
Okay.
And Magoo was down the road. He wasn't that far away. So we were kind of... We didn't get to see each other that much, but early COVID. And then after that, we kind of...
Yeah, when
up,
you could.
Picked up. Yeah, exactly. But myself and Fitz were living in the house, but it was get up at 12:30.
Mm-hmm. You would have missed your own gig.
Yeah, we would have missed our own gig. Exactly. And then we'd play PlayStation, play Warzone for about 7 hours.
This sounds like Cormac Battle now. Yeah, right. Up right. The street.
So, and then we'd write tunes for another 4 hours, and then we'd have 15 or 20 minutes doing college, and then it'd be back to bed, and then wake up and do it all again. And we did that for like 8 months. And by the end of that, we had a few good tunes. So,
bad routine. You applied yourself somewhere in the master's. Yeah, wasn't 100%. The subject you were supposed to be doing. 100%. Talking about that, okay, you were doing a master's in engineering. Am I right in saying that, Magoo?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, is that where the three of you guys met?
Yeah, we met in college.
Were you in college in Limerick?
In UL. We were doing a master's in electronic engineering. We started in 2017. And
it was probably 2019 by the time
we got going. It was good old cracky. Well, it's a good spot.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yep. I mean, I've spent many a night down there. It's good fun. But, like, look, let's be completely realistic. You go to college, you do engineering, you're gone back to do a master's. Like, your parents can't be too thrilled that you decided that you were just going to pack that in and
bullying.
Go. Yeah.
They loved it. They were absolutely. You want to give up your job, your degree, no problem at all. That's exactly what they said.
Think of the finances.
Sorry, Fitz just did the most perfect example of exactly what every Irish parent would say. Yeah, you want to pack that in, off you go. Yeah. But this is on you.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like, Eddie, how did your parents react?
My dad, I remember... I had a job. I did have, actually, there's a couple of mad bits. I didn't tell my dad I was in the band.
Okay.
And then Hermitage Green asked us to support them in the Docklands.
Yeah.
Which was like I think it's one of the EP tents, but it's a 5,000 cap tent. So they asked us to support them, which was amazing. I think it was our third ever live performance, which is the funniest thing in the world.
That is wild.
Yeah, which is hilarious. But my dad then got a call the day of the gig to be like, oh, are you coming down? And he was like, coming down to what? And he was like, oh, we're going down to see Edmund play a gig. And he was like, what do you mean Edmund play a gig? He was like, Edmund's in a band. He was like, oh, I must go down to this. So when he turned up at the 5,000 cap tent, he had no idea I was in a band at all. It was his first introduction to me. He knew I played music, but he thought I was down studying engineering. So
did you just not tell him you were in a band because you would have been come up against questions about why you weren't studying as much?
Maybe. I don't know. I think it just didn't really. It was kind of one of those things where I was like, oh, what are you up to? I'm down in college studying away. Yeah, yeah. I suppose we were chatting away, but for some reason it just didn't come up. I suppose, but that's what I'm saying. It was like, it happened within the space of like 3 weeks. Like, we went from, that's how fast it was. Like, and then he turned up and obviously had a heart attack on the spot. So that's the crack. That's how my dad found out we were in a band anyway.
I feel like you're just kind of digesting what is happening, and you probably haven't even processed it a whole pile just yet. But like, because most bands, if you think about it, they spend years playing to like half empty venues. They're going around, they're doing the bar scene, they're trying to get a gig wherever they can. It kind of must be amazing to have avoided that, Fitz.
I mean, yeah, I think we're really, really lucky. Like, I hate, like, it's great. It absolutely is, and no other way to look at it. But I'm thankful for it, because like that grind is tough, and I've seen people do it. And So we're thankful we've gotten the opportunity so quick, and we're just kind of, as Eddie's father said, we're riding the wave.
Yeah. Just how are you finding the touring schedule though? Because every musician ever who has gone on tour will tell you how incredibly tough it is, because you're living out of a suitcase and you're just go.
When you're on tour, it's like, I think you just, the adrenaline keeps you going, and it's just like, it's fine. It's when you get a whole, like, you go from like 1,000% every day, like just running around the place, touring, and then you get home and you're just sat at home doing nothing for like a week, and you're like, what the hell is going on? What am I supposed to do? And it's like this shock to the system. And I think then is when you start to like catch up on sleep and catch up on everything. Because when we get home from tour, I can't do anything for like a week after, because I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? What's going on? Where am I? Kind of
also though, coming from, you know, you were in education, you were supposed to be going into jobs that would be working relatively normal hours. It's the guilt as well that I think is ingrained in us that, oh God, I'm doing nothing. I've not been at nothing at all.
100%.
Yeah, and that kicks, because you might have been on tour for the last like 2 weeks, but Magoo, it's still hard to adjust to that.
Time management is definitely something we need to get better at. Like, you can be in the studio or on tour for weeks on end, and then you come home and you might have a radio interview in the morning and that's it for the day, and you're like, I feel like I should be doing something, kind of a thing. It's usually at those times my father will ring me and tell me to come out and dose calves or move cattle or something, and I'm like, I'm actually exhausted, and he can't understand it, you know.
Yeah, because he's like, but you've been out nothing all day.
Sitting in the bus for 2 weeks. What's wrong with you? Like,
he keeps coming into the kitchen, and we're sitting under the table having a cup of tea, and he's like, geez, you have a grand life, don't you? Ah, grand life.
Like, he's actually fuming. Sometimes he's fuming.
I'm not going to hold you too much longer, because I do want you guys to do another session for us here in studio, right, if you wouldn't mind. But for for you, what do you think it is that has made Kingfisher resonate with such a large audience so quickly? Or do you have the answer?
No. I don't anyway.
But that's good. Don't overcomplicate it.
I don't know. Does anyone know? If anyone knew the answer to that, they'd be...
doing it.
Yeah. You'd have to be an awful narcissist to think that you had figured out why these things happen to certain people and not to others.
I'd like to think there's a sense of genuinity to the music and people can smell the bullshit from miles away.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you are. We just said it out anyway.
Oh!
Ireland is full of really, really great music right now and the scene is thriving. And I think we're just delighted to be part of that. And people can see that we mean the songs that we sing. And I like to think that is a factor in people enjoying our music.
Go on to go.
Well done. But also, as long as your outlad stays making you go dolls and calves and stuff, that'll keep you nice and down to earth, won't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Lucky to have it, to be honest.
Lads, you probably don't know this either because you're just in the thick of it right now, but what is the plan for the future for you? You know, what's the next couple of months look like? I know that you just got back from somewhere quite cool.
Yeah, we were just back from Switzerland.
Yeah, deadly.
Which is, getting to go to these places is just scandalous.
Yeah.
It's getting crazier and crazier. We've got a tour in November. That's probably the big thing.
Fantastic. Sell that. This is what we're here for.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's still a couple of tickets left. So if you do want to check us out.
Is that an Irish tour?
That's an Irish and UK. We've got dates all over.
Okay, amazing.
I mean, if you're looking for a bit of a holiday, you can head over to the UK.
Holidays. I'll turn anything into a holiday, as everyone on this show knows.
Yeah. you can check us out. If it's Kingfisher, the bird without the TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. And we've got a website as well. But if you go to the Instagram or the TikTok, you can find out everything there.
Oh, lads, you're so sound. And thank you so much for coming in with us today. I am buzzing with all your success so far. Kingfisher single Go Loud is out now. You can find more on their Instagram page, Kingfisher Official. So, you know, I don't want you to go just yet. I did say I would like if you would do another session. But you're going to do your own version of a tune by a big American artist. What's it going to be?
We are going to do 28 by Zach Bryan off the new album.
Unreal.
We loved a bit. So
take it away. With Laura Fox Podcast.